Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Pastry chef Shane Smith, good afternoon.
Brendan, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm pretty excited about this. So you're going to tell us how to make homemade versions of fig rolls, Mikados, and even a bounty bar.
All the retro classics.
Yes.
The Holy Trilogy.
Yes. So before we get to the biscuits, just if people take one thing away from this, here's a really simple thing. A three-ingredient homemade bounty bar, no baking required.
Yes. It's a brilliant one to whip up really quickly at home, especially if you've got younger bakers as well and you don't want to be switching on the ovens. So desiccated coconut, the secret ingredient is the condensed milk, which you'd usually use for your millionaire shortbread to make the caramel layer. So condensed milk, coconut, mix that together and kind of shape that with your hands into the little bars, then pop them into the freezer for maybe 10-15 minutes, and then you just melt some chocolate and cover those with the chocolate. So that's your three ingredients.
And back into the fridge then.
Back into the fridge then as well, yeah. So again, very simple, very easy to do. And again, sometimes with slightly cheaper chocolate, it can be quite thick when it melts, so you might have to add a little bit of oil or something in there just to loosen up the chocolate,
okay,
so it coats the bounty bar. But if you're using a really good quality chocolate, it has high cocoa butter, so it will actually melt down nice and soft.
And we're not using too high a percent cocoa,
no.
So you're using nice
kind of
milk chocolate.
55-60% is loads, especially if there's, again, younger people in the house, that it's not too bitter.
Yeah, okay. All right, so biscuits then. You see, this brings us back to kind of innocent times, doesn't it? Because, like, there's a whole, like, it's like Spotify now, like, there's all kinds of fancy biscuits confectionery available. But like, back in the day, the Mikado was the last word in luxury, wasn't it?
It just was. And I think now every biscuit and cookie is stuffed, deep fried, coated. Like, there's so much now that you kind of look back, and definitely with the Mikado, there's something special about it. Now, I have to say, it was still a special occasion biscuit in our house. We wouldn't have had it all the time. We were a rich tea and butter. Normally, that's what we'd have. But if somebody was
digestive butter as well back in the day.
100%, that's comfort. But if somebody was coming out, if the neighbours was coming in, or the relations from the city were coming down, now the Mikados come out and we're putting a little plate, and we were told not to touch them until there was any left. But they were still special, but definitely even now they're a comfort thing as well.
Yeah. So for the Mikado, like, first question now, are we making marshmallow from scratch here?
Yes. So again, this is a take on marshmallow. Generally speaking, a marshmallow, a lot of the recipes contain gelatin, which is obviously not suitable then for vegetarians. So some do, some don't, but it gives that really firm texture. And generally when you make marshmallow, you put it into a tray and cut it into little squares. So we're going to be piping this onto a biscuit base for a Mikado. What I do is, it's kind of like a Swiss meringue. So that basically is egg whites and sugar, and you put it over a bain-marie, which is basically a bowl sitting over a pot of simmering water, and you whisk it to dissolve the sugar, and it heats up the egg and kind of obviously brings it to a temperature that it's safe to eat then. And then you just take that and put it into a bowl with your handheld mixer, or if you have a stand mixer, and you whisk it for about maybe 5 minutes, and it thickens up into this really glossy, almost marshmallowy consistency.
Okay, so you don't need to be professional baker scientists to do that. It's like your basic
everything you have, those all those bits and pieces.
And people who are afraid of getting involved with gelatin and all that,
simplifies that.
Okay, and then now the biscuit in the Mikado is a very particular kind of biscuit you need there, isn't it, to hold the situation together.
People overlook the biscuit, and it plays such an important role, because it obviously has to hold that lovely marshmallow with the coconut on top and that little layer of jam. So I have a lovely sweet pastry biscuit recipe, which again has plenty of butter in there, so when you bake it, and it stays lovely and crisp and avoids that soggy bottom scenario when you put something on. So sweet pastry, again, so the pastry biscuit base is very important.
Okay, so, and it's more pastry than it is what we know as the Mikado base.
Exactly. So again, it's at the same recipe. It's my go-to. I'd always use it for even making apple pies or apple tarts, that pastry base that you'd make. And again, for me, there's nothing worse than having 12 different recipes at home. If you can use this recipe and you know that it works well with an apple pie or a little lemon biscuit, this one also works really good for the base of your Mikado. You get a little bit
And again, what technique do people need to watch out for in the pastry?
Mixing bowl and a wooden spoon. Keep it simple, and you're just room temperature butter is your friend. If you're going to be having cold butter, it's hard to handle. So room temperature butter, sugar, mix that together until it's nice and soft. Add in your egg, a little dash of vanilla and flour, and you mix that until it forms a nice kind of soft dough. Wrap that and then chill it, because it'll be a little bit too soft to work with at that stage because of the butter. Chill it for about maybe 25-30 minutes and then take it out and roll it.
Okay, so then what are we need our jam down the middle as well.
Yeah, so you basically cut your little roll out your pastry. You don't have to be perfect. Cut them into little squares or rectangles. The more, I call them agricultural biscuits, the better. The more they look homemade, the better. Pop those onto your tray, and they bake in an oven at 180 for about maybe 12 minutes, and they're lightly golden brown. Then you'll have made your marshmallow, and you do the, I suppose, a specialist bit of equipment is your piping bag, something that people may not have, but you can use Ziploc bags, or you can make a little parchment paper cone to pipe
the little, so just take a Ziploc bag and snip the corner off of them
and pipe that down if you don't have it, and then pipe that onto the biscuit base, your two little rows of marshmallow, sprinkle that with your desk head of coconut. If you are looking for that pastel pink signature colour marshmallow, you do have to add just a little drop of like red food colouring in, just a tiny little drop, even the end of a toothpick in, just to give it that blush pink colour. And then you sprinkle over your desiccated coconut and a little spoon of jam down the centre. Now, I know it does seem like a little bit of work, but they are
amazing.
But it
sounds like good fun and an amazing result out of it. Like, now, would you be ever tempted to cover those in chocolate? Because obviously the chocolate Kimberley became a Christmas classic.
Yeah.
But then because it worked, they have in recent years introduced the chocolate Mikado, which I have to say, I'm not sure that it, like, I would be for covering anything in chocolate, but the chocolate Mikado, I'm not so sure about.
I'm a believer that not every biscuit needs to be pimped up. I think you can kind of just leave certain biscuits as they are. I personally wouldn't be a fan of the chocolate. I think it takes over from that lovely texture of the marshmallow, that little bit of jam and that simplicity.
Yeah. There's a place called Enough.
There's Enough, exactly.
Grant, right. Okay, so fig rolls then. Now, obviously people are going to have the one big question here. I mean, given that it was a big deal back in the day. We know from the ads there was industrial espionage.
It was marketing genius.
How to get the fig into the fig roll. So maybe tell us about what's the figgy centre first.
Figgy centre is obviously dried figs. So again, you can get those readily available now. So dried figs, you're going to be chopping those up, and that's what gives those lovely little seeds that you get in the centre of the figs that'll be in that lovely jammy consistency. I like to bulk it up with a little bit of dried dates as well. So if you've ever made a sticky toffee pudding and you've cooked down some dates and brown sugar and your figs in there as well, that's going to be your centre. So again, it's the dried figs, dates, a little bit of brown sugar. It gives a lovely caramel flavour. Spice as well. Some people like to add in, you know, clove, ginger, cinnamon. I just like to just add a little pinch of cinnamon in. And again, some people like to add even a bit of lemon zest. That's kind of complicating it. But if you have your dried figs, your dates, your brown sugar, for me, that's more than enough. And a little bit of cinnamon to get that lovely figgy scent.
Okay. And then is it your previous pastry biscuit?
Similar, but the difference with this pastry is we're going to be using a brown sugar because we want it to be a little bit more, again, of that caramelly colour and flavour. So again, it's just your butter, sugar, brown sugar, a little egg and flour. So a very similar pastry, but again, you're just using, and listen, at the end of the day, if you don't have brown sugar at home, it's not the end of the world.
Grand.
Throw in your caster sugar or granulated will have a little bit more texture in your pastry, so, but you'll be forgiven for that if you're giving someone biscuits.
Okay, and assemblage then?
Yeah, if you've ever made a sausage roll, you can make a fig roll. That's the way I look at it. If you've ever taken a strip of pastry and put a sausage filling down the centre and rolled it over, it's the same method. You just make your pastry, chill it, and then roll it into two rectangles, and then have your cold. It's important to have that nice filling, jammy fig filling cold, spoon it down the centre, and then you just kind of roll it up almost like I won't say a Swiss roll, but you're kind of rolling the pastry over the filling and tucking it in. Now, I know as a Cava man, I like to have as much filling as possible and to get loads in there, bang for my buck, but overfilling it is a bit of a nightmare because then the fig and the filling starts to ooze out from the bottom and it gets a little bit messy. So I know you want
discipline.
A little bit of restraint, and if there's any left over, you can eat it out of the pot as well. It's just as good that way too. It's really nice.
Okay, you could argue that that's a vaguely healthy biscuit, could you?
we can dance around there.
Figs and dates, it's two of your five a day
Do you know, if someone said to me you had a choice of a fig roll or a Mikado, like, I'd go with a Mikado.
Listen, Mikado all day.
All day long.
Fig rolls, the only reason parents bought fig rolls was because they'd still be there a week later, like, whereas if you bought anything nice,
they
were gone.
I'd say there's some impresses from the 80s still that are still 100%
anyway,
fine.
Anyway, but a homemade one would be a nice retreat for people. Okay, so look, let's skip down a generation now. So we grew up with biscuits. It's all cookies now. The kids even call like biscuits cookies now. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
But you have a classic chocolate chip cookie farce. Yes,
I think it's a lovely one to have up in your repertoire, up your sleeve, to be able to pull out. And again, I'm very much, when it comes to a chocolate chip cookie, it's a personal thing, but I love a slightly chewy, underbaked, but have that little bit of a chew to it is really, really lovely. So again, this depends on your own personal preference.
If you can get a kind of a crusty-ish outside and a bit of chew in the middle, that's your ideal.
And again, the secret for that really is using melted butter instead of unmelted butter.
Is it? Okay.
That's one of them. And obviously, you want a high ratio of moisture in there. So using a brown sugar over a caster sugar will help with that as well. And then, of course, baking. If you're going to leave it in for too long, it's going to dry out. So baking is key. But there'll be the three things. So the recipe that we'll be sharing later is the a brown butter. I know that sounds very fancy and people probably can charge an extra 20 cent to 50 cent in a restaurant if they call it a brown butter cookie.
Yeah.
But you're just melting down your butter until it just starts, the milk solids start to go golden brown. It starts to froth up in the pan and you get this lovely nutty smell. Okay. And then you set that to one side.
Where's the place called burnt then? Like,
oh, well, smoke. When you start seeing smoke, okay, then you've gone too far.
So you're taking it to the edge but not quite.
Yeah, and you just see it starting to lightly kind of foam up in the middle. Now listen, if you don't feel comfortable going to that, you can just melt your butter and use that as is, but the brown butter is very it adds a lovely flavour to it and people will be kind of picking up on that. It's almost like a nutty flavour.
Yeah.
And then you're taking your melted butter and then you're proceeding to make it very simply, again just with your brown sugar in there, butter and your egg, a bit of vanilla if you want, and a nice chocolate. So again, I think the cookie or whatever bake you're making is only going to be as good as the ingredients that you use. So pick a nice chocolate. I personally like to take the block of chocolate and cut it up so you're getting different pieces rather than the perfect little chocolate drop sometimes. Either or work perfectly fine, but I think that the having large chunky bits of chocolate and small bits makes it look a little bit more homemade. And I'd add about 3/4 of the chocolate in the recipe into the dough initially, and then I'd pop more on it when I roll them before I bake them, just so the chocolate melts on top and you get that lovely chocolate topping.
Yeah, everyone now in the whole country now needs that chocolate chip cookie right now.
What are we doing? Frantically googling brown butter.
Okay, Shane Smith, thank you very much. And people can find you at Chef Shane Smith on Instagram, and we put the recipes up on rte.ie/Brendan. And listen, even if you get the no bake bounty bar out of that today, isn't that a classic if you're scared of all the rest of them? Okay, that's it for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcast.